Hey, this is Tori. I want to welcome you to Keep Rising Together, the podcast. So my best friend Nicole and I, we really want this to be a place where we can just talk about mental health, we can talk about Jesus, and we're probably going to laugh a lot and be goofy. So if that's not what you're into, then this might be the wrong podcast for you. But yep, just buckle up and join us for this ride. We're always going to have fun and we're always going to just talk about those things that the Lord is laying on our heart. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you come back again. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on Keep Rising Together. This is Tori.
And this is Nicole.
Hey.
Hey.
So thank you so much for joining us. And tonight we're going to be talking about trauma again, which I know, again, is not a super fun subject. But tonight we're going to be focusing on what life after trauma looks like and just essentially learning what it means to like live again, like embracing the new life that you have after you face a traumatic situation.
Yeah, so with trauma, like kind of like Tori just said, you know, it is crazy what it does to your brain. It actually sort of rewires it, and it makes it so you're kind of a different person. And that's why tonight we're going to talk about certain things, kind of like how to give yourself grace and learn how to, you know, deal with certain things like PTSD, and kind of like seeing yourself as a new person, but, you know, not really kind of allowing yourself to lose hope, because we don't want to lose hope. Hope is, we can always have hope in Jesus. Or if, you know, you're not a believer and you're listening to this, you can still have friends to surround yourself with. So we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that Nicole mentioned is just like learning what it means to be kind of a different person after you experience trauma. I know in my own trauma recovery, back when I really didn't know that I had experienced something traumatic, back when I didn't really understand what these strange flashbacks were that were happening in my brain, I remember being afraid of everything. I remember just living kind of in this like tunnel vision. Everything was scary. Everything was overwhelming. And I didn't really know why. And it's taken a while to really work through those things and understand that, you know, this is what's happened to me, and this is the steps that I can take to move forward. And I don't have to stay in that place where I'm afraid. I don't have to stay in that place where I'm overwhelmed. I can be intentional. I can seek help. I can find a new community. And there's just a lot of life that can come if you're willing to just sometimes dive right into the trauma recovery and start working on it.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, important that you said that, Tori, because I feel like everybody has, you know, like, you know, point in their life, especially when somebody realizes that they've first gone through some sort of trauma in their life. And I think that it's important to realize, first of all, that you're very brave for recognizing and even kind of, you know, like admitting to yourself, like, oh, there's a problem. I'm not seeing life like everybody else. And that kind of builds upon the same thing of like, okay, like my life is not, you know, like it's not the way I was thinking it would be. And, you know, kind of like you said, Tori, that's why it's very important to have, you know, like that community and to give yourself, you know, different tools to be like able to kind of cope and go through things. So yeah, it's very important for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's really important especially if a youth experienced any kind of physical or sexual trauma, or even emotional trauma can apply. This can apply to you as well. Is learning how to love and accept your body. Oftentimes when you experience trauma, you have body dysmorphia, which means that you view your body in ways that are not accurate. And I know, like, personally, one of the side effects, I guess, of my trauma that I experienced when I was a child is that I learned to hate my body. And one of the ways that, even subconsciously, that I defended myself from the abuse that I experienced was putting on weight. Weight was a way that I could defend against the predator that was in my life. And so I used my weight as a shield. And these are things that I didn't think about until 20 years after the fact. But my weight became something that kept me safe. And so even as an adult, I have struggled with eating and eating as a way to deal with my feelings, because when I was a child, I learned to hide in my own body. I learned that food was something I could use as a tool to comfort me. And I've hated my body for years. I've really struggled with self-hatred and just not loving the person that I am in the mirror. And also, like, not believing that what I look like is who I really am. And there's so many layers. It's crazy. There's just so many layers that come with when you're dealing with trauma and you're actually working through it. Like, there's layers upon layers that you will just discover within yourself, that so many of these lies that you've been telling yourself are lies that have been told to you, that you just have to strip away and find that, like, tender heart that's underneath it all.
I like how you said that, with the, you know, finding your tender heart that's underneath it all, because I think this kind of circles back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about, you know, like, us having a mask and feeling like we have to hide everything under a facade. And, you know, that's kind of like with trauma, that's what the brain, you know, naturally does, is we like to try to hide with that because we can't fully process it yet. And I really take that almost as God's grace, kind of like we spoke about a couple weeks ago. You know, like, he's like, okay, this trauma is just fresh, it's new, you're not at a place yet where you can unpack it, kind of, or unpeel the onion, you know, like we said, you know, kind of like a couple, like, well, actually it was last week, like we said, kind of then, you know. And so it's very important to realize that, you know, like, underneath there is a person that needs to be handled with care, and at the right time that person's gonna come out, you know. Like, I know for me, kind of going through high school and stuff, that's kind of when that process started, with having certain triggers, being bullied, you know, just kind of like you were talking about, Tori, with body image. I mean, it's hard enough with, like, having, you know, your peers kind of judging you and sizing you up to see if, like, you know, you're a good human being on the outside. But then, you know, like, kind of dealing with trauma, you know, you kind of have that own, you kind of have a different kind of outlook on that that makes it even harder. So then, you know, you hide behind it, kind of like you said with the weight thing. I've, you know, done that myself as well, because I think it makes it easier to kind of not make yourself a target, because you're afraid that if you embrace, like, beautiful, you know, beauty and all those other things, then maybe the same thing will happen. But that's actually, you know, kind of a way at that moment for your brain to cope with kind of what happened to you.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really valid point. And I remember there was a couple years ago that I was talking to a counselor about this, and she told me that my weight and being overweight and dealing with my trauma by hiding in my weight. That was a tool that I used when I was in the midst of trauma, but that tool no longer served me. And I've really wrestled with those words a lot, like the tool that no longer serves me, and like what it means to stop using that tool, what it means to like disentangle myself from the way that I viewed myself for so long. And it's just, it's a crazy process. And I think to kind of go along with what you're saying, like just being judged by what you look like and being, you know, feeling like you have to be held to the with is not believing that I deserve to be beautiful because of the things that had been done to me. Like, I didn't feel beautiful on the inside, therefore I didn't deserve to feel beautiful on the outside.
Wow. Like, that's really, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I really feel like that's kind of what happens when you have trauma happen to you. You know, like, it's almost like you rewrite this script to yourself, where it's like, you know, I must have something wrong with me in order to have that person do that to me. So because of this, I need to, you know, show on the outside kind of how I'm feeling on the inside, because, you know, I obviously, that person was drawn to me because of, you know, something I was doing wrong. So there must be something wrong with me. And, you know, it's really sad. Like, I feel like that's kind of where shame starts and all that, and, you know, hiding and, you know, just kind of just going back to, you know, kind of what, you know, we were saying previous. It's like, you know, I kind of feel like that's kind of why it's hard for us to have true community, because, you know, a lot of us come to the table, so to speak, with different traumas, different, you know, triggers even. And we're not even technically sure how to help steward each person's heart. And the only way we can do that, you know, is by like listening with grace and loving and just supporting. And, you know, I think especially that's why, you know, take for example, our friendship works, is because we have that for each other. And, you know, it's a hope that, you know, everybody, you know, that is listening to this podcast also is able to have that safe person.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have people that you can trust, you can fall back on, and you can be 100% yourself with. Because when you've been kind of locked in this place where you don't feel it's safe to be yourself, it becomes incredibly important to find people that are your safe people. Find people that, you know, if something triggers you or something happens and you're overwhelmed, that you can come to them and they're not going to say, oh, suck it up, you'll be fine. Like, that's the last thing you need. That's the last thing you need when you're in the midst of crisis, is like people who are insensitive or they don't mm-hmm. understand. They don't understand how to help you, even when that help means like just being a good listener.
I think there's so much power in listening, because it gives that person like the ability to unwrap those layers that have been protected, you know, for so many years. And I don't know who said this, but it's something to the extent of, you know, the greatest gift you can give someone is to listen and to be present and to not have an agenda, but to just be there. And, you know, I kind of think about how in the Bible, like, the Jews, like, if somebody was grieving, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but they, I believe, used to sit with their friend, and they used to, you know, kind of tear their clothes and just sit in silence and just listen. And they kind of, you know, used that time to kind of help that person unpack the pain that they're going through. And that's why it's important to, like, have that person, those people, that tribe of individuals, you know, to help you deal with things like PTSD, or, you know, maybe there is, you know, some need of going to a professional, or, you know, a peer counselor, or even a friend. But as, you know, you said, and as I'm saying, make sure that person says things truth and love, because if you're already hurting, you don't need an individual to come in and point out all your flaws. That's the last thing you need to do in that vulnerable moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's a verse in Romans, Romans 12, I think. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Mm. Like, we're meant to come alongside each other and see each other where we're at and just sit there in compassion. And, you know, if someone's crying, then being willing, even if you don't burst into tears too, being willing to meet that person where they're at and don't try to change them, just be present with them, like you were talking about, Nicole. It will make a world of difference if you have someone who's willing to just sit and listen and not try to fix it, not try to offer advice, but just be present.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a problem that even, you know, I myself even know that I've done this a lot. You see somebody and with, you know, the most genuine concern, you want to stop the hurt that they're going through. So you want to tell them that, oh, let's do this, let's do that, you know, to fix the problem. But sometimes that makes the problem bigger if you try to add too much to their brain to overthink. They don't need all of that. And, you know, it's important at that moment to just be present with them and, you know, to maybe do something like, kind of like we've talked about too, Tori, like with finding a creative outlet. Like maybe there's a way you can help that friend process that trauma with doing something like doing art or singing or something like that. You know, it doesn't have to be singing really good either. Like you can just sing, or, you know, dance or whatever, like go to get eat ice cream, you know, like just be present.
Yeah, absolutely. And this made me think of something. Back when I was in college a few years ago, I had a really close friend, and we're still pretty close now. But one of the things, like if we're stressed out, we were dealing with something heavy that's going on socially, or, you know, we are both honestly really processing through some drama, and sometimes we didn't even realize it. But one of the things that we loved to do was go on drives. We would crank up the music to like max volume, windows down, and just drive on the highways for like a couple hours and sing at the top of our lungs very badly. And it was just one of those things, like we weren't trying to fix each other. We weren't trying to, you know, counsel each other. We were just present in that moment with each other, and whatever we were struggling with, you know, we set it aside for a minute and just like sang country songs or 90s pop songs like at the top of our lungs. And it's honestly like some of my favorite memories with this friend, because we just were authentic and real with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's made one of the biggest differences in my life to have that friend in my life. So just wanted to share that story. It made me think of it when you were talking about that, Nicole.
Hey, no shame in that. I mean, you know, like I have had times myself where, you know, it's kind of like you just want to literally let the windows down and like have, I know that's kind of why I'm glad with my new job I'm starting, you know, in this next week, that I'm going to have a little bit more of a commute now, so I can kind of start to process things while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. And probably singing off key at some points if I'm singing at that moment. I'm sure I'll be stuck in traffic jams at some point. But you know, it's kind of loving yourself enough to have that, you know, those special moments with that friend, or even like 2 or 3 days ago when I've went through a couple things, I had a couple of my girlfriends and I, we just went shopping and we just went to one store, but you know what, it was still fun, and we just let our hair down and took some goofy pictures, and you know, it makes your heart lighter. I think sometimes God wants us to like lighten up a little bit and just, you know, just have fun and stop like being so worried about being, you know, fitting a mold.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the best things we can do sometimes when we're in the midst of dealing with heavy things or things that are, you know, difficult to work through is taking a step back and just being present right where you are, enjoying that moment and coming back to it later.
Yeah, I think that that's huge too, because it's kind of like giving yourself time to think. It's like your mind's like, whoa, did this really happen? You know, and then it's kind of like taking like a little sabbatical. You know, like I know, like, okay, y'all might judge me. I know you won't, Tori, because you get it. But I'm like huge into my Nintendo Switch right now. Like it's a thing, and I just find that that's like a really great way to unplug my brain and just like kind of just, you know, veg. It makes me like lay down on my couch, or like I just sit and lean back where I'm at, and it just gets me like in this kind of moment where I'm just kind of, you know, not thinking. And you don't always want to be like that. I mean, there's always chores that have to be done. You have to like eat at some point. Like, we're not like a gamer channel, so this is not like a thing where like we're promoting, you know, like takeout for like DoorDash or anything. But like, you know, eventually, like, you do have to go back to life, and you do have to go back to that trauma, and with like persistence and with bravery, tackle that. But I think you will really be surprised to see how God helps you process it. It's not going to be as painful all the time as you're thinking. There will be some good moments.
Yeah, there definitely will. Okay, we're going to take a break for just a couple minutes, and we'll get right back into talking about this. So kind of to note on what you were saying, Nicole, I think you're totally right. Like, just letting yourself veg and do something that you enjoy, whether it's playing your Switch, something like that I know I enjoy, and I know you enjoy too, Nicole, is reading. I have probably a pile of books on my nightstand constantly. And it's just, you know, some of those things, like, I really like to find books that help me work through things. But there comes a time where I have to set those down and say, you know what? I'm not going to work on myself right this second. I need to just relax. And I've been reading like this fantasy series right now, and it's just like super good. And it's nice to just be able to like run away to a fantasy world for just, you know, an hour or two. And then when your brain is a little more relaxed, then you can, you know, you can deal with life a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it's so funny, Tori, because you and I are so much alike. I actually currently, you know, my fiance and I are moving soon. But I do have two boxes that have bookcases in them. And I bought them with the intention of building them. But now that we're moving, I don't have, you know, I can be lazy and not have to build them. But I do need those two bookcases because my bookcase currently is overflowing. Like, I have piles of books next to my row of books, if that makes sense. Like, and I even have baskets in my living room that have hidden books, so my living room doesn't look so trashed. Like, I think it's a thing, guys.
It's fine. I saw a quote, I think it was yesterday, it was like, that pile of books on your nightstand isn't judging you, it's just waiting for you to, you know, pick it up whenever you're ready. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you for not judging me, pile of books.
I love that.
Like, no pressure, actually just read it when you can. Like, don't, oh my gosh, I have to read these books because I bought them, like, because they'll be there, they're just gonna wait there patiently for you.
Oh my gosh, I love that you mentioned that, because I literally feel like it's a thing. Like, I just bought like two like self-help book things, that because, you know, unpacking trauma, but then I just like managed to stumble upon this really good like fiction story that I kind of mentioned to you today. It's it's about a president's daughter being kidnapped, and I'm like, here's another book. So it's kind of like that book judgmental thing, like, oh, you bought two books already, why haven't you finished them yet? It's like, well, I'll get to it. It's a thing.
It is, it really is. And you know, I think it's just, it's healthy. It's healthy to have things that you enjoy just for the sake of enjoying them. You know, like you said, it's good to have those trauma workbooks. It's good to have those self-help books, because I know, like, I bought and read quite a few of them, because just like working on yourself, there's so many different people who can offer really good godly wisdom about how to deal with some of the things that you deal with. But there also is a time and a place for like putting them aside and just enjoying a romp in a fantasy land somewhere.
Yes. Like, I know one of the kiddos that I hang out with, she is obsessed with mangas. And I know we've talked about that too. And I just recently got off the phone with her and she was like, so are you watching any anime lately? And I almost thought it was kind of like a way of like me being like, oh man, maybe I should just veg and watch some anime and just stop watching all this like, you know, adult kind of stuff and just like take a seat back and kind of be more of like, allow myself to be a kid again, because that's kind of why I'm drawn to that, you know, the whole kind of like you were saying, kind of like fantasy world kind of thing, letting your brain veg and be imaginative. And just, you know, I think kids have a lot to teach us. And for all those parents listening, which I know you're a parent, yeah. I'm sure Miss Nora has taught you a lot about that.
Okay, so because you mentioned anime and manga, my husband and I may really enjoy watching anime together.
No shame.
So I was having this conversation with him. There's this particular anime, and it's also a manga, called Fruits Basket. And it's so good. There was a series that was released in 2001, and they have rebooted it. In, I think, 2019, they started it, like, a reboot of it. And I was watching this with my husband, and I just went, oh my gosh, this main character, she's a crisis counselor. Because, like, what this character does, like, every single episode is she meets people where they are and she, like, consoles them and helps them see things in a different light. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how profound is that?
Wow. Now I, like, need to seriously watch that, because I love that. Like, it's so funny because, you know, kind of like, I feel like when, you know, you deal with so many deep things, you know, your brain, you know, like, you can see things in such a different light. So I think it's funny that, like, I know we talk all the time, Tori, about like how, you know, like even things like Disney, you watch things like Frozen. I think I was talking to you the other night about watching like the Rapunzel or whatever that helped me out here.
Tangled? Yeah.
Yes, Tangled. You know, and it just all kind of like, you just can't help yourself but unpack it. And you're like, whoa, this has got some really deep stuff. It's pretty good.
I think there's just something about when you are intentionally going through recovery that you just start to see so many things in a different way. And like you said, just, you know, these kids movies that have been around for, you know, however long, all of a sudden they hit differently because, like, you understand. You understand, like, you know, the crisis that a main character is going through. You understand, you know, the motivations of the villain. And it's like, it's crazy. Like, just crisis and dealing with things like that, they make such a difference in how you, like, perceive things.
Yes, I agree. Like, you know that you have gone through some things in life when you can watch stuff like I was unashamedly watching Pokemon, one of the movies, and I like saw like Ash connecting with Pikachu, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're having a vulnerably mature conversation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know? But like you said, it's kind of like you connect with yourself at such a deeper level. And that's why I think trauma work, although it's very hard, I think it's very beautiful and very necessary to go through. Because I think that when you come out of it, you can see yourself as so much more of a well-rounded person that it's almost like a gift to yourself. And I know that I've seen that in you, and I'm seeing it in me, and I know you've even seen it in your husband, and I'm seeing it in my fiance, like all of the things that we've gone through, you know, it's just, it continuously gets used for better things, even if it's really difficult to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, kind of on a different note, something that's really important about going through trauma recovery, going through anything that's really difficult, is being willing to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And one of the best things I ever did was ask for help. And you know, sometimes that looks like going to a counselor, sometimes that looks like talking to a friend. And I think it's funny, sometimes you aren't looking for help. Help just finds you. I know when the very first time where I admitted that I was not okay, and actually I was suicidal at that point. I was really struggling with thoughts of suicide. I was overwhelmed with flashbacks that were hitting my brain. To the point where suicide really felt like the only option. And like, if you are in that place, there is hope and you can get out of it. But I was in this really dark place, and I was in this like the very, very iceberg tip of my recovery, right before it got really, it really even got started. I had someone that I care about really deeply, and someone that cares about me really deeply, she like was willing to look me in the eye and say, you're not okay and you need to get help. And sometimes it takes someone looking you in the eye and saying, you're not okay and you need to get help, that you can finally look at yourself and say, oh my gosh, I'm not okay and I do need to get help. And then the next time when you kind of get into that same mode, even if it's not as severe, you can learn how to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm feeling some of those same things. Maybe I'm not okay. Maybe I need to get help. And it's all just a learning process. As you start really like processing and working through trauma, you start figuring out what are those triggers, what are those things that like set my brain off on a rabbit trail that no one needs to go down. You know, what are those things that bring me back to the place where trauma happened, where, you know, where I felt afraid and vulnerable and like terrified that I was going to die or terrified that something really bad was going to happen to me. And, you know, as you kind of learn and as you kind of take those steps, I want to say it gets easier. It's not that it gets easier. You get better at doing it. Like, it's kind of like learning how to drive. Like, people are still going to drive like complete morons, but as you get more confident behind the wheel, it's not that driving is more safe, it's that you're better at doing it.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's so true, because I know, like, when I first started driving, you know, I was paranoid when there was a car behind me, you know, but now it's like, you know, I can do crazy things like U-turns and stuff if I need to. And I think it's all just kind of learning, kind of like, you know, dealing with this is a new normal for you. You know, I know after the pandemic and stuff, we've all gotten tired of that phrase. Sorry to tell you, everybody, like, we're still, it's gonna, you're still gonna have to have that term in your life somehow. Because when you do process trauma, like, it will be a new normal for you, because, you know, you almost had this person that you for sure thought that was you. Like, I know, for example, I was listening to a sermon, and they were talking about how there's like a false self, and that false self is the self that you had when you were going through that trauma. But as the Lord started breaking all those lies down and helping you process things and walking you through the pain, you came to the true self of you, which is you after all that trauma and pain. And I know I've seen that in my own life. It almost felt like kind of a caterpillar, like a cocoon butterfly thing, where, you know, like, you, I went through this awkward phase when I was, you know, how many other people don't, you know, like when you're in middle school and you have a hard time fitting in and you just want to be accepted. And, you know, kind of like I mentioned a few podcasts back about how, like, I just kind of looked up to the ceiling and I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, why? Kind of like what you said, Tori, it's like the whole suicide thing, you know, like, you kind of are just kind of like, why am I here? Like, and it gets so dark and, you know, you're kind of like, you know, there's no way out. And then, you know, like, it was shortly after that that I kind of started unpacking the fact, like, kind of like a light went on. And I was like, whoa, there's something not going on here. You know, what's going on? And, you know, I'm thankful that you had that person that kind of said that to you. For me, I think it was somehow of an inner moment where I didn't really have anybody at that time to kind of tell me, like, hey, something is going on with you. So I think it was kind of more an internal wrestling for myself. But I think after I had that moment, I had more teachers and friends and stuff come alongside me and kind of help me realize, like, okay, now you see yourself in this. You know, this is kind of how you get out and this is how you love yourself. But, you know, as you said, like, there is definitely hope and there is a way to turn the corner, and you just have to give yourself enough grace and just love yourself enough to know that it's one step at a time for every day. Like, don't even think about tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow can be exhausting enough. Just think about this next hour. Think about this next, you know, couple hours, even think about this next second, if that's all you can do. Just think, okay, I can get through this. I can do this. And because I love myself enough, and if you're a Christian, I love Jesus enough, and he loves me too. And he'll walk through it with you.
I think you just like nailed it right on the head. Like giving yourself grace and being present. Those are probably the two biggest pieces of advice I could give to someone who's going through trauma recovery. Giving yourself grace to realize that you're not going to be the same person anymore. And it's okay. Like, in fact, you're probably going to grow and be a better person. Like, kind of going back to that metaphor you're talking about, the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. I want to say that, you know, think about it. Like, that caterpillar was probably terrified going into that cocoon. They don't know what's going on. The walls are closing in and everything looks very different, and they think they're gonna die. And then one day they wake up and they're more beautiful than they could have ever fathomed. And it's like, how did this happen to me? And it's just like letting go and trusting the process and finding out that there's so much more beauty on the other side than you could have ever fathomed.
That is so beautiful. Thanks for saying that, because that is so true. Like, how many of you, like, you know, and even us, like, see a caterpillar and you're, you know, when I was little, I was like, oh, look, a little worm, you know, but I used to love collecting caterpillars. Now, not so much. And if I probably see one in my apartment, I'd probably scream. So, but anyways, it tells you kind of how your brain changes when you're little to when you're an adult. but anyway, like with that, you know, you're kind of like, you see a caterpillar and they don't seem like they have much to offer, but then like they go in that little cocoon, which is even weirder, and it's like crunchy and disgusting looking, but then it's like, you know, like what comes out of it is like this gorgeous butterfly. And how many people just love butterflies? Like they're on jewelry, you know. One of the pieces of jewelry I actually picked out for you know, my future wedding coming up is butterfly earrings. And I think it's because it, you know, shows such a beautiful metamorphosis that happens. And, you know, it's kind of like those different shades of colors come out of that dark cocoon that was like such a place of like so much pain and just strife and stress even sometimes. And then comes out this beautiful blue butterfly, and you can be even more beautiful than you can imagine after all that pain happening. Not knowing, kind of like what you said, just letting go of control and not knowing what's going to happen, but just being like, okay, like I may be this little caterpillar thingy right now, but at the end I'm going to somehow turn into this metamorphosized butterfly and help others be beautiful as well.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And you know, that butterfly, you know, might be able to talk to those caterpillars, and they might not believe that one day that they're going to be beautiful, but they will be. They really will.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you all so much for joining us today. And we are so excited that you're here with us, and we cannot wait to talk more with you on the next episode.
Yes. Love you guys
so much. We love you so much, and we're praying for you. Thank you so much for joining us on Keep Rising Together. Our listeners mean the world to us, and we pray for you each week. If you're struggling with thoughts of self-harm or suicide, or even depression or anxiety, I want to let you know that you can text the Crisis Helpline 24/7, 365 to speak to a crisis counselor instantly. It's super easy and free to use. Just text the word HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to 741-741 to get help right away. We love you, and we're so grateful for you. Have an amazing week. Let's keep rising together, friends.